I heard my grandparents say a number of times while I was growing up that you never know a person unless you live with them or work with them. I've kind of found that to be true going through life. A lot of you see Don once a week, a few maybe twice a week. Last 7 years, I've been with Don 4 or 5 days a week, sometimes even a little bit more than that. One of my favorite songs by Paul Simon has this beautiful little line where he talks about how he's going to stand guard like the postcard of a golden retriever. It was such a beautiful image, and that's kind of how Don has been for me these past 7 years, being able to be in an office across from him day after day, working on things that a lot of times people don't see. I've had a lot of colleagues in ministry over the past 25 years, but I've never worked with anybody who's been steadier. There's probably a lot of words I could come up with, but that is probably the word that fits him best, and I've just loved it. I've loved being with him and look forward to these next few years where I'm going to soak up these moments. But I know that Don spoke, Leslie, Jim's prayer and everything, but just want to add one more, just how grateful I am on behalf of this church for who Don is. There's not a lot of people who serve a church steady year after year for 25 years. And it's wonderful. I love you, Don. Let's pray together. God, it seems like a lot of times we can see your hand when we look into the past. But sometimes it is, we confess, just downright hard to see your hand in the present, and especially as sometimes we confess to you that we worry about the future. And so, Father, we pray as we listen to your word, especially from Jesus this morning, that you will increase our faith. The days when we worry, we pray that you will give us more faith. On the days when we are filled with faith, we ask that you help our memories not to fade quite so quickly. We thank you for your promises, for the ways that you worked yesterday and in the days far gone. We thank you for the ways that you work today and our hope that we continue to place in you into what is always an uncertain future. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who is and who was and is to come. Amen. In the beginning, God made a decision. For whatever reason, God decided to make us, to shape us, in the image of God. And since that time, the Creator of heaven and earth made us more known. And since that time, when we speak of creation, we today, in the name of Jesus, speak of the ultimate abundant life of all Christians created in the image and likeness of Christ. The problem is that when the Lord communicated to us directly as He preached and lived among us, He was really into hard sayings. I even have a book in my library called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. Well, not the least of these hard sayings goes like this. By the time it made its way to us in English, it just wound up being 3 words. How's this for a hard saying of Jesus? Do not worry. That's not hard because it's unclear. It's hard because it's so clear. It's so obvious what Jesus is saying. Do not worry. Well, what do you mean by that? No, do not worry. Do not worry. As if love God, love your neighbor was not enough to keep us busy for an entire lifetime, Jesus adds this to the mix. This is the whole teaching on do not worry. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' Or, 'What will we drink?' Or, 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Do not worry." My wife will be the first to tell you that when you tell someone not to worry, you know what they will naturally do? Worry. So let's just cut to the chase, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, our dear church family who God loves so much. We as a nation and the whole world, we are in a time of great uncertainty. As if it was not enough to have just installed a new president of the United States who is as unpredictable as round dice, the whole world seems to be in a state of mass uncertainty. The only comfort in saying such a thing is that if you study history, most of you know what I'm about to say, right? Wait for it. If you study history, it has always been this way. However, the exception to observing that it has always been this way is that it has never specifically been today before today. I'll pause there and let that one sink in for a moment. So with today being such an uncertain today, Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6 is especially meaningful because every time Jesus preaches Matthew 6, and he has preached this one thousands of times, every time this part of the Sermon on the Mount is read to the faithful, every time Jesus preaches Matthew 6, it gains a new hearing because there has never been a today quite like the one today. Do not worry. That's easy to say in hindsight when yesterday is gone, but for today, well, that's another thing altogether. In the history of the President of the United States, an important time for any term is what is often referred to as the first 100 days, which is a phrase that FDR coined, if you're wondering where that came from. First 100 days are when the most sweeping changes happen. If you ever watched The West Wing, you learned that the first 100 days are when pretty much everything happens. So, okay. First 100 days. But what about for us? Today, in light of the way that Matthew 1 through 7, on the whole, reframes creation around the life and teachings of Jesus, especially in the midst of this very difficult teaching about worrying, I'd like to suggest that we as a church begin a season today to take us through our own first 100 days. As if cultivating patience and kindness were not enough, let's add not cultivating something. So often in the Christian life, it is about what we do and what we do not do. You know, there's these lists that come out that say, here's what you need to do as a Christian, and there are lists just as important of what we do not do. Well, what if for the next 100 days, we as a church, we as the body of Christ, continue to commit to cultivating patience and kindness, as well as not cultivating worry? And I'll be the first to tell you, this is not going to be easy. No one ever said that living a life in Christ is going to be easy, but I think it's worthwhile. This is about taking on and giving up. So what do we take on? Patience and kindness. What do we give up? Worry. Yeah, but how? How do we actually, practically do this? Well, if you don't want to worry, cultivate patience and kindness. And by cultivating patience and kindness, it will help put things in perspective that we so often worry about. And I'll tell you, the easier task, the easier life to live would be to spend the next 100 days worrying. Let's have 100 days of worry. That would actually be pretty easy. There's a lot to worry about. I mean, we're in a time of great uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's true of anything. That's true of any time. But we're in the midst of uncertainty. Just face it. This is where we are right now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know this, and I can assure you of something. 100 days from today will be May 2nd. If you just love the internet, you can type in, what's 100 days from today? And it tells you. Don't even have to count. Well, what if we have our own 100 days to do great things? Other than cultivating patience and kindness and not cultivating worry, what might we pray for? What might we dream together? How might our faith grow? Should we pray, like we did years ago, that God might send us 10 households with whom we might share this wonderful community of faith that we have in this place? Should we pray that God will lead us to yet another ministry opportunity as we seek to live out the gospel with others? The whole world is going to watch our country closely to see what happens in this first 100 days. But that's just one thing. It's just one thing among many things. And in the span of time, time is so much greater than just this 100 days. And the most beautiful thing to say in the midst of saying, well, what about these next 100 days, is that God has been God for all eternity up to this point. God is God today, and God will continue to be God on into eternity. And that's not going to change. We as Christians come in this place, in the name of Jesus, confessing and rejoicing that we get to be a part of a story that has already lasted for eternity and will continue to do so. We get to be a part of an eternal story that's so much bigger than today, and it's bigger than yesterday too. This has always been about trusting and following Jesus. So, and this is the hardest thing you're going to hear all week, do not worry about today. What you will eat or drink or what you will wear, who of us by worrying can add a single hour to our lives? I read a Chinese proverb recently that's been haunting me. If you are patient in a moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. I wonder if the same could be said of worry. Patient and kind in a moment of worry. So what's it going to be? 100 days of worry or 100 days of faith? Oh, if it were only that simple. Truth is, next 100 days, it'll be 100 days of worry. Which is why it's all the more important for us to keep coming together on days like today and saying, yeah, but we are practicing 100 days of faith. We will continue to put our lives in the hands of Jesus. And it's not going to be easy, so let's do it together. Because coming in here for the next 100 days, as people of faith who continue to put our lives in the hands of Jesus, will help us to remember a story so much bigger than us. And if nothing I've said so far has convinced you, consider this. This might help. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. For those of us who live by the promises of the truth of the Lord, we can bless one another with the peace of Christ, with the face of the Lord who shines upon us, because Jesus is, was, and is to come. No worries. Amen.